Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Should companies place more emphasis on mental well-being at the workplace? Well, a recent survey by human resources consulting firm Mercer found that 61% of companies in Singapore and Hong Kong say they have mental health as a top priority, while 37% say it's not on their agenda. This even though a nationwide survey by the Institute of Mental Health released last December showed that 1 in 7 people in Singapore has experienced a mental disorder in their lifetime. Well, May marks Mental Awareness Month, and joining us to tell us more is Neil Narell, partner for health at Mercer. Well, Neil, tell us, how important is mental well-being at the workplace?
Oh, thank you. Mental well-being is what we find at Mercer needs to be a top priority, a top agenda item on the HR's priority list. We've seen organizations that have made it a top priority and seen productivity, engagement increase, and absenteeism actually decrease. It's encouraging from our survey that you cited, 61% make mental wealth a type priority. Very encouraging. However, again, still 37% don't even have this on the agenda. And part of the reason why is just lack of awareness and just lack of understanding of how to deal with stigma. I think the last one that's probably the more disappointing one is that 27% who actually see mental wellness as or mental health as a priority haven't even taken action. And again, that speaks to the stigma of not knowing how to deal with it. And as part of, you know, what we, so some of the other questions we asked as part of our survey was barriers that in addressing mental wellness. And so 45%, according to our survey, agree that stigma is the main barrier. And just to give you an example, I was at a conference about a month ago on mental wellness, and one of the psychologists asked a question to the audience, about 100 of us, how many of you have had a cough and cold? And virtually everybody put up their hand. And she asked, how many of you have gone in for a surgery, met a medical professional? About 30%, 30 employees put up their hand. And then the last question she asked is, how many of you have dealt with mental illness in the last year? And one person put up their hand. And she said, well, when the Institute of Mental Health in Singapore is saying 1 in 7 individuals are dealing with a mental health issue, I find that hard to believe. And therein lies the stigma. And so as we think about what organizations can do, we think about participating in mental wellness, because the lack of data currently just doesn't exist. And it's hard for HR professionals to even put a business case in place to begin with a mental wellness solution. But by participating, we'll be able to access better data, and by better data, we'll be able to develop and help organizations put better business cases together to start.
Neil, if we could ask, what are some of the common mental health issues seen at the workplace?
Yeah, the top two common mental health issues that we see is depression and OCD, obsessive compulsion disorder. And you know, that's based on the limited data that exists in the market based on surveys and from the Institute of Mental Health. And so we are learning more and more. And to give you another example of what organizations are doing with some of this data around, for example, OCD, we worked with a very large high-tech firm that had moved to a open office concept, so smart office, where everybody was hot desking. But they've had a few cases of individuals that were on long extended leaves because of mental illnesses. And one of the big reasons is they needed to work in quiet areas. Mm-hmm. And so this employer actually adapted their culture and work environment to just ensure that there were quiet areas so individuals could better concentrate, yet at the same time having a smart office environment for people to network. And so we are seeing some organizations with the data that is available taking some action. Mm-hmm. Some other actions that I could talk of is return to work programs. So individuals that have been away on a mental illness, how do you return back to work? How do you ease back into the workplace? Is it through some counseling, coaching, of some sort of assistance, to perhaps even the insurance programs? Other things that we see that work are ambassadors, individuals perhaps within the organizations that may have dealt with a mental illness in the past, through maybe a corporation CSR events and activities. And then the last one we'd say were organizations, if anything, especially for some of the small, medium enterprise or mid-market organizations, may not have the cost or budgets to invest, is just to simply communicate. is to develop the right communication protocols to talk openly about it. And we believe strongly that that's a big way to actually alleviate some of the stigma concerns.
And Neil, 61% of companies in Singapore and Hong Kong say that they have mental health as a top priority. How does this compare with companies?
Yeah, so how it compares with companies is mainly most of the companies actually are deciding how to actually go about. We are seeing some organizations, you know, like I said, 27% know it's a priority but are not taking action. So we actually think even though it's a top priority to us, it's actually the action that is actually more concerning. They view it as organizations have see it as a priority. But to go back to your question more bluntly, data is just unfortunately not as available. And I think this is probably representative of the workforce and what we think companies are dealing with. So perhaps one in seven in organizations perhaps are dealing with a mental illness issue, if you want to use that statistic. But the long story of it is the data is probably just not available. But from the data from the Institute of Mental Health, we believe that one in seven workers on average are probably dealing with a mental illness, and a lot of it is just going undetected. They themselves are not realized because of stigma, or perhaps because the awareness is just not as there in the moment, like there is on physical illnesses or other types of illnesses. And so a lot of this does go undiagnosed.
Okay, Neil, 37% of companies say mental health isn't even on their agenda. What do you think can be done to get mental health higher up or even on the agenda to begin with?
Yeah, three things. The first, communication, openly communicating, developing ambassadors within the organization, knowing that it's actually individuals, one in seven, are dealing with mental illnesses, and it's something that organizations should feel open and freely to speak about. Next, reviewing your insurance programs and your benefit policies. Do they actually include support for mental illnesses? Is there a return to work policy that's embedded within your insurance policies? And third is really around training on people managers. Often we see in our survey data was showing 67% of organizations don't even have training or guidelines for people managers around mental wellness or mental illnesses. Second, only 12% said that managers actually had the right and equipped tools. So very, very little training is going to people managers. And when you think of people managers and the direct influence they have on well-being of employees, career growth of employees, they're the people that employees are going to go to when they're dealing with an issue. If they're not being trained and equipped, then there's likely a gap within the support organizations are providing.
Well said. That leads me to the next question, Neil. How do you think companies can help to make it easier for employees to kind of seek help without any fear of stigma or concern that this will affect their work performance or their appraisal?
Yeah, ambassadors are probably the greatest example. We work with an organization that has developed actually an open sharing forum around mental illnesses, around mental well-being. They openly have days, so every Friday, the last Friday of every month, they allow employees to leave at 4:30 every day so they can spend time at home with their family, and they call that sort of a family dinner day. And so really committing and developing ambassadors, walking the walk and talking the talk, if it comes right top down from leadership, it would make a huge difference in terms of organizations and individuals feeling less of ashamed about talking about this and really reducing some of the stigma and the barriers that is right now being felt. So communication, ambassadors, and really around relooking at your benefits policies and programs around what you're doing around the mental well-being space.
Neil Nerale is partner for health at Mercer. Neil, what do you say to the small and medium-sized companies listening in who may feel they just don't have the resources to implement a mental wellness program?
Yeah, so communication is very important. So relooking at what communication you're already offering around your current well-being programs. And sometimes it's really just about just making people aware that they can speak to their people managers. So the second would be then training on people managers, really, really making sure that people managers are aware that this is just a different illness that individuals may be facing. Equip them to understand how to better manage individuals that perhaps, for example, are dealing with workload issues. And then the third one would be around just reviewing your insurance policies to see what information is available around mental well-being. And, you know, I think as leaders within organizations, there are a lot of forums that are being run around mental well-being. We at Mercer are running a forum as an example this Friday. Anthea Ong, nominated member of parliament, will be speaking at it. And just, I think, around awareness and understanding of what literature and data is out there will just, I think, make people more comfortable with the topic.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Neil Nirali there, partner for health at Mercer. Remember, May is Mental Awareness Month.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.